Welcome to Rams Up, your weekly LA Rams podcast, bi-weekly during the season. We are a proud member of the Pigskin Podcast Network. We'll cover other SoCal sports items of interest, but we're mostly about your Los Angeles Rams. I'm your host, Mark. Let's get to it. Welcome back, Ram fans. Season 2, Episode 3 of Rams Up, your Los Angeles Rams podcast. Last week, we had Tom, Rams Beat, on Twitter to discuss the Rams defense, what the roster looks like moving forward to 2022, which free agents they should retain, which ones they should let walk, all of that stuff from a salary cap perspective as well. Tom is back this week. Very informative discussion about the Rams' offense and special teams. And we'll wrap it up at the end with a summary of all the moves Tom thinks the Rams need to make to improve this roster, not just maintain it, and fit it all underneath the salary cap as well. Lots of good stuff. Check it out. And on that note, we have some really cool interviews planned moving forward. We'll spin those up as we get closer to the draft. First, some random Rams news. Now, we already knew about all these coaching moves. Liam Cohen, the new offensive coordinator. Greg Olsen coming back from the Raiders as a senior offensive assistant. Thomas Brown, last year's running back coach, moving over to the tight ends. Zach Robinson, now the assistant quarterback coach. And Jack Peets, also coaching the quarterbacks. Some additional moves. Rashad Samples, a highly regarded running backs coach out of TCU, is coming over to do the same for the Rams, taking that job Thomas Brown previously held. Skylar Jones is coming on board as an assistant defensive line coach, and Jeremy Springer will be an assistant with the special teams. Some player news, Andrew Whitworth still stewing over whether he should retire or not. Be nice if he made that decision quickly here. I suspect the Rams would like him to make his decision already, because that'll impact what they do in free agency, especially with regards to Joseph Noteboom. News this weekend that Von Miller and the Rams have mutual interest. Kind of already knew that. I don't call that news. I can't imagine that they wouldn't have interest in each other. In fact, Von Miller posted on Instagram, you've all seen that to-do list, NFC West champs crossed out, NFC champions crossed out, Super Bowl champions crossed out. That was all over Twitter and Instagram following the Super Bowl. Well, Von Miller posted the same list and then at the bottom, uncrossed, run it back. So that's a pretty good indication Von Miller is heading back to the Rams, or at least he would like to come back to the Rams. And the Rams are working on new contracts for Matthew Stafford and Aaron Donald. That'll be a big piece of that restructuring that needs to occur for the Rams to maintain this roster, improve this roster, and get underneath the salary cap. A couple quick notes regarding Sean McVay. Over the regular season and playoffs, he has now beat every team in the NFL except the Steelers, Dolphins, Bills, and Jets. He'll get another shot at the Bills this year. He'll get a shot at the Steelers in 2023. Both those games will be at home, by the way. And in 2024, he'll get another shot at the Bills, as well as a second shot at the Dolphins and Jets. And something I noticed that I thought was kind of curious, the Rams are 3-0 under McVay against divisional opponents in the playoffs. They have beaten the Seahawks, Cardinals, and 49ers in the playoffs all over the last 2 years, actually. Word on the street is that OBJ could be back on the field in early November. That'll obviously impact how hard the Rams go at re-signing him. I think they will re-sign him. Hey, and look at these attendance figures. From 2021, the Rams were 8th in average home attendance, over 71,000. They were 6th in average overall attendance, home and away, over 69,000. And they are one of 6 teams to max out attendance 100% home attendance. So maybe Kroenke had it figured out after all. He didn't listen to this garbage that LA is not a football town. This stadium has been packed for every game. Now, granted, a lot of fans showing up for the visiting team. That's just LA, though. That's the way it's going to be for a little while until the Rams get a couple more Super Bowls in their pocket. Some notes on the scouting combine. It's just amazing how fast players are getting. Jerry Rice ran a 4.71 in the 40 at his combine. This week, Georgia defensive tackle Jordan Davis, who comes in at 341 pounds, ran a 4.78, just a hair behind Jerry Rice's time. Who stood out from what I can tell? Well, the aforementioned Davis. He'll go high in this draft. Ikem Ekwonu, the tackle out of North Carolina State, is either number one or the number two tackle. Hey, he may have jumped Evan Neal to number one. We'll have to see, but he looked very good. Breece Hall, the running back out of Iowa State, everybody's raving about him. He was already the number one running back on some boards. Two at worst. 6'1", 215. Man, he looks the part. And Kenneth Walker III, the running back out of Michigan State. He was in the Heisman Trophy discussion at one point, and he showed very well at the combine. And shout out to Kenny Pickett, the quarterback out of Pittsburgh, taking a lot of heat for his hand size, 8.5 inches, which are smaller than mine, by the way. But he went out there and performed really well, wearing gloves. Hopefully put that discussion to bed. Kenny Pickett can play quarterback in the NFL. Hand size is not going to hold him back. Sky Moore, the wide receiver out of Michigan State, tore it up. He came into the combine as maybe a late second, early third rounder. I don't think he is anymore. He may have even elevated himself into the first round. He's got speed, but he also demonstrated excellent route running, and that's becoming more and more important with many teams in the NFL. He can run routes already. Teams are going to want him on their roster. A couple other guys that stood out. Now, both of these, I'm riding on Daniel Jeremiah's coattails. Running back Tyler Goodson out of Iowa. What's interesting about him is, good luck trying to find him on any draft boards. I went through the top 400 on Draft Tech. No Tyler Goodson, but Daniel Jeremiah is on his bandwagon, and the tape I saw on him, yeah, he looks like an NFL running back. Probably a late rounder, but good for him. Came to the combine and turned some heads. And then there's offensive tackle Trevor Penning, another guy Jeremiah called out. Out of Northern Iowa, this guy is athletic and he is big. 6'7", 325. He could have played the Mountain in Game of Thrones. He looks the part of a dominant NFL tackle. Get through some Major League Baseball notes. Well, what do you know? Nothing to report. MLB is blowing it. This is the time of year where the spotlight could be on them, but they're not playing. UCLA took care of USC Saturday night to secure the number 2 seed in the Pac-12 tournament. That was Mick Cronin's first win over the Trojans. So UCLA number 2, USC number 3. Those two crosstown rivals will likely meet in the Pac-12 basketball tournament. Good chance they will meet again in the tournament. And then, of course, Selection Sunday coming up. And the Lakers pull off a big win over Seth Curry and the Golden State Warriors. The Lakers needed something good to happen. Man, they have been dismal. But that's a big win for them. They need to get it turned around. Hey, Matthew and Kelly Stafford were practically sitting on the Laker bench, cheering them on. LeBron and Stafford seem to have a connection there. So we'll have to see what happens with the Lakers. They should still make the playoffs, but they need to get some momentum going. String together some good performances, and hopefully some good things will happen for them in the playoffs. So next up, we will continue our interview with Tom. We'll start with the offense, we'll roll into the special teams, and then we'll wrap everything up, summarize everything, offense, defense, and special teams, what the Rams need to do, what free agents they need to re-sign, what external free agents they might be interested in, what free agents are they going to let walk? And how do we get it all done while staying underneath the salary cap? Tom nails it down pretty good for us. Stick around for that coming up.
Hoops fans, the latest offer from DraftKings Sportsbook
is too good to pass up. I'm talking between the legs 360 windmill good. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TPPN. Bet just $1 on any NBA team and get $150 in free bets if they win. That's promo code TPPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 plus minimum age and location requirements vary by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full list for requirements and state-specific responsible gaming resources. Void where prohibited. Minimum $5 deposit. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text the TN Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. In Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. That's 467-369. Welcome back, everybody. Last week, I had Tom, otherwise known as @RamsBeat on Twitter, as a guest to discuss the Rams roster on the defensive side of the ball. And Tom's back this week. How are you doing, Tom?
Hey, great. Great to be back.
And this week, we are going to talk about the Rams offense and special teams. What changes are forthcoming? What should the Rams be focusing on? What free agents they have? Which ones should be retained? And so on. Basically what we did last week. So let's start with the wide receivers. And this is a little bit complicated. We have Cooper Kupp, arguably the best wide receiver in the league, coming back. Robert Woods returning from injury. Van Jefferson, a solid number three. Ben Skowronek, the rookie, had some bonehead plays and a lot of drops, but the Rams love him in the run game. They have Tutu Atwell and Jacob Harris coming back. Now, Harris is maybe a tight end, maybe a wide receiver. I don't think Sean McVay has even decided yet. So those two guys will be coming back. And then we have OBJ, a free agent but injured, provided the vertical threat for much of the year. And then Brandon Powell, another free agent who I loved in the punt return game. Great ball security and really add something the Rams have been missing, that punt return threat. I guess what I'm getting at, Tom, is there's a lot of bodies here. And if we bring back Powell and OBJ, do we have room for all of these guys? Is Skowronek and Atwell and maybe even Harris at risk of losing a job if we keep Powell and when OBJ comes back?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's obviously a lot of bodies here. However, we know from history that the Rams prioritize the wide receiver position. It's the second most important position after quarterback. They proved that when they drafted Atwell last year, even though they had a full cadre of receivers in lieu of a Creed Humphrey and so forth, which many Rams fans wish they had. So they obviously prioritize this position. The other aspect of this is that all of these guys are heavy contributors on special teams. You look at Atwell was starting to be. We didn't really see where he would end up, but certainly Skowronek, Koski, Harris, and of course Powell are all heavy contributors on special teams. So in a sense, the Rams get a big group of wide receivers to see who emerges. And they get heavy production on the special team side. Well, the other aspect is all of those guys, with the exception of Kupp and Woods, are all $1 million or less. So again, a very affordable group of very productive players, and waiting to see which will emerge into a potentially a regular rotational player in the at the wide receiver position. Regarding OBJ, he would have certainly gotten sort of a $12 to $14 million deal had he not been injured in the Super Bowl. However, now that he has been, I do think he comes back on a rehab deal. Maybe they give him a, you know, sort of $2 to $3 million, something like that. He likes LA. I think he thinks he found a home. Certainly he, like most other players at this point, are very fond of the Rams medical team after what they did with Akers. So I think they bring all of these guys back, and that's a lot of bodies, but again, excellent special teams production, and just see who emerges, see who emerges with Cup, Jefferson, and Woods starting. They can see if Atwell or Skowronek can advance. They can see if Jacob Harris takes a leap forward, if Brandon Powell, who gets a full camp now to learn the offense, can be integrated. And as you and I have talked about, we know Matthew Stafford loves Brandon Powell as well. And he's been talking about him ever since Brandon Powell came over from their days in Detroit. So I think they keep them all. I think it's very affordable, and they love the position, and they're all very productive.
Yeah, I did see that snippet during the Super Bowl. Stafford mic'd up Brandon Powell, asking Stafford to get him out there so he could help out. So they definitely have a good relationship. So do you think it's fair to consider Jacob Harris as part of this wide receiver mix, or do we know? Is he a 50-50 guy, tight end, wide receiver?
Yeah, I think he's a 50-50 guy. I think, interestingly, I think that a lot of people point to McVay's comment in that press conference about him. I think he views this position in general as a hybrid. The way that he lines guys up, we see Higbee lined up all the time on the isolated on one side with the triple formation of the wide receivers on the other. We see our wide receivers notoriously being excellent blockers. Woods, Cup, getting a lot of lining up inside. Skowronek, yeah, lining up inside at the tight end kind of position, and sealing the edge. So I really feel like he says, hey, these are receivers. I don't know if they're wide receivers or tight ends, but they all need to be able to catch passes, and they all need to be able to block. And so I think he views more positionally as a hybrid, not necessarily Jacob Harris.
Okay. I think that's a good summary of the wide receiver situation. Looks like we'll bring all these guys back, hopefully, and hope that someone steps up in the vertical passing game until OBJ gets back. Now, as far as tight ends, you know, we got Higbee under contract, Kendall Blanton and Bryson Hopkins both started to emerge during the playoffs. And then there's Johnny Munt, who was out all year.
He's a free agent, yeah.
Yes, Johnny Munt's a free agent as well. So I'm wondering, well, and I guess we should also consider Jacob Harris in this mix. So my initial thought would be maybe the Johnny Munt era is over, and Higbee, Blanton, Hopkins, and Harris make up our tight end core.
Yeah, I think they like Munt a lot. He was primarily a blocking tight end for most of his years so far at the Rams. Hasn't had a lot of targets. He has a couple of drops here and there that, you know, some people remember, but his hands have gotten a lot better, and he was progressing very well at the beginning of this season in the passing game, and they were starting to target him more. I think they bring him back, and I think they bring him back, for a low number, $1 million, something like that. I don't think he's going to get a lot of play out in the marketplace. I do think they bring back Blanton and Hopkins as well. And again, all of those guys have been excellent special teams players as well. So we can't forget the contribution they're making on that side of the ball. The one thing that I think may happen at this position is that Tyler Higbee may get cut. He may be a Ram cap casualty. And his cap hit this year is about $8 million. Now, they would have some dead money there if they cut him. There would be about $3 million in dead money. But there would be a $5 million cap savings. And we also don't know how bad that injury was that he suffered. So that may be a cap casualty surprise. Again, I haven't heard many people mention it. But just looking at the numbers, you know, the only people that make more than Higbee, or the more that have a higher cap hit than Higbee are Stafford, Kupp, Woods, Donald, Ramsey, and Floyd, and actually Havenstein as well. So, you know, he's right up there at that $8 million number. And the next number after him is Johnny Hecker at $3.2 million. So there's a big gap there. I think they run it back with Hopkins, Blanton, and Munt. Given the production that we saw out of Hopkins and Blanton in particular at the end of the season, and Munt coming back. And unfortunately, I think Higbee might be a cap casualty.
Yeah, you know, what you're saying makes sense. It'd be sad to see, though. I really love Tyler Higbee. He's been a warrior, and especially kind of a bummer in that he didn't get to play in the Super Bowl. But, hey, if you have a guy that can get the job done for one-fourth the price, or three or four guys that'll end up costing as half as much as Higbee, I guess it kind of makes sense. So maybe we'll see that happen.
Yeah, we'll see. There's the other opportunity is just to completely restructure his contract and you know, ask him to take a pay cut. If he does get cut, I don't know what his market would be out there, but I'm guessing, you know, sort of the probably the $4 to $5 million range. So we'll see what happens with him. I think that's the only questionable salary on the books at this point that they won't just automatically restructure at the end of the you know, during the offseason.
I have one more for you coming up here,
but oh good, okay.
We can maybe argue about that one. Okay, let's take a quick break here and we'll continue our review of the offensive position groups, quarterbacks, running backs, and the offensive line. Back with our guest Tom at RamsBeat on Twitter. Let's continue then with our offensive position groups. My thoughts on the quarterback position is, well, obviously we have Stafford and Bryce Perkins and John Wolford is the exclusive rights free agent. And I was surprised they kept Perkins on the 53-man roster, but I'm wondering if it's because they're looking forward to 2022 as a potentially a better backup than Wolford. And maybe to let Wolford walk. How do you feel about that? Do you think they just bring all three back?
I think they do. I think they bring all three back. And Stafford, as good as he is at standing in the pocket and taking those hits, there were a few times this year where it felt like he might not get up. And right. If he doesn't, they're going to need somebody to step in and run that offense. And I think they're going to want two guys to be able to do so. And Wolford's you know, can come back for the minimum. He'll cost about $1 million, and Bryce Perkins is under $1 million. So that offense in particular is so quarterback driven. I guess most offenses are in the NFL, but need somebody that knows what they're doing. So I think both of those guys come back.
And Perkins and Wolford can both extend plays, which I think, you know, when the Rams are playing another team, the backups that scare me are those guys that can get outside the pocket and do stuff, because very often that's what they have to do. And I think Perkins and Wolford can both do that to some extent. I don't know if either one of them are good enough to carry the team on a playoff drive, but you can't have everything, I suppose.
It wasn't very long ago when Sean McVay wanted to start Wolford, or did start Wolford over Goff in a playoff game, and he got hurt in the first in the very beginning, and Goff came in and played well. But I don't think McVay is going to cut or let Wolford walk.
Yeah. Okay. Running back position, I think we're in decent shape. Cam Akers, Daryl Henderson, Jake Funk, all coming back. Raymond Calais, am I pronouncing that right? He was out with an injury, as was Xavier Jones. I would assume that means Sony Michel and Buddy Howell will both probably not be brought back. Buddy Howell, I suppose they could at a very low price. That would be probably a camp competition with some of these other guys. So I guess the biggest question is, does Sony Michel walk? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think he proved himself well, out well this year, when he was their primary running back for most of the year. The projections are that he'll get between 3 and 5 million from somebody, and I think that that will cause him to walk, certainly for the money, but also, he'll be running back three, RB3 in this,
Right.
as was shown in the Super Bowl when the other two guys were available, and
Yeah.
that's just not a role that he's going to want to take, and they
Yeah.
certainly won't spend on RB3, $3 to $5 million.
Yeah. And the only reason I would, and I'm not arguing to bring him back, but the thing I like about Sony is the other guys, virtually the entire position group aside from him, has injury history. And Sony seems to be, very tough and durable. But again, you can't have everything. I think if we rolled with Akers, Henderson, Funk, and one other body, I think this group would be in pretty good shape.
This is another position group where I think they're going to go get one or two players in the draft. I don't see them getting into free agency. They don't like to they don't want to pay for somebody, and certainly like Akers enough as RB1 and Henderson as RB2 to not go out and pay somebody like Cordarrelle Patterson or somebody like that.
Yeah.
So, but I see them adding some depth here in the draft. Running backs are usually very, very good special teams players, very versatile, and
Yeah.
I can see them adding at least one, if not two, of their eight draft picks at this position.
My special assistant made the point recently to me. He said if he was a general manager, he would draft a running back every year because they get hurt a lot. A lot of them only have 3 or 4 good years in them. So bring one in every year, cross your fingers. Okay, that's good. Offensive line, and this is a mess. And hopefully they'll get this straightened out. We have Havenstein and Edwards, the Wisconsin duo, coming back as starters. Austin Corbett and Brian Allen, both free agents. And Coleman Shelton, also a free agent. And that's no small matter because I think the Rams would be comfortable with him as a starter at center. I'm assuming Whitworth retires as far as this discussion's concerned. And then you have backups like Alaric Jackson, Bobby Evans, Tremaine Ankrum, Chandler Brewer, and a guy that kind of snuck onto the Rams roster, and I missed it, Drake Jackson, the rookie center out of Kentucky, who I think has been cut already twice by different teams. So maybe we shouldn't be putting a lot of stock into him.
Yeah, he signed
So,
a futures contract from the Lions, I think. Yeah.
oh, is he? He is now, or?
They Rams signed him to the futures contract,
Oh,
so
the Rams did. Okay.
they have his rights. Yeah, from he came,
Gotcha.
he was released by the Lions, who were all set at center, and so yeah, but yeah, that he's a backup for sure. But you're right. This is the there is no doubt this is the position group has the most questions,
Right.
and so, yeah, if we assume that Havenstein and Edwards are back, we're now at 2 of 5. If they can sign Noteboom for the projected 4 to 6, I think that that's a no-brainer. He may get a lot more money than that as a left tackle that fared very well when he got his chances, and I don't think the Rams are going to pay him much more than the 4 to 6 million. I don't think they're going to go into the 8 to 10
So
for Noteboom.
they could lose him to another team, no matter, regardless of how badly they want him.
If somebody overpays him, I mean the consensus is that he'll get sort of 4 to 6, and I think the Rams would certainly take that and slot him in there. If they don't, then they're going to go and they're going to pay $10 million or something like that, or $8 million. They would go for somebody that proven NFL left tackle, maybe somebody like Dwayne Brown from Seattle, who would be a fantastic fit. But I don't think they want to go that high. But they will if they need to. Obviously, left tackle, checking
Yeah.
staff with blindside is critical. The other question marks, they'll re-sign, they'll tender Shelton almost certainly. And he played very well when he had his opportunities. The big question marks are, of course, are Brian Allen and Austin Corbett. Those are the two the two big question marks in this position group. Many people are saying they let's run it back, bring him back, and give, you know, this Corvette his 8 to 9 million and Brian Allen his 5 to 6 million and run it back. It's my opinion that that was the weak link in their offense. They're the reason they couldn't run the ball was those guys were getting pushed off the ball. It certainly wasn't Havenstein and and Whitworth. And so and then if you we all recall those the Tennessee game where their defensive line just blasted through the middle of our offensive line all game long.
Right.
San Francisco did the same thing. So strong, balanced defensive lines tore those guys up. They did okay, better again in the pass protection, but they're the reason that our run game didn't work. They're not, even though there are, we run a zone versus a gap offensive scheme and run in the run scheme. And that means those guys have to move and into space, which they got there, but they missed a lot of missed a lot of blocks if you look at the PFF. So having said that, I think this is the position group most likely to go out after some free agents. If they aren't lucky enough to get somebody that can start in the draft, which I think is a long shot, especially on an offensive line position when they're drafting that late in the draft. But I can see them going after a center that excels in the zone block scheme, maybe somebody like Ben Jones from Tennessee or Matt Paredes from Carolina. Both those guys would be available in sort of the, you know, the $5 to $7 million range. And then I think they're going to do the same thing at guard and really upgrade at that position. There's some really good guards that excel in the zone block scheme. Lakin Tomlinson from San Francisco, James Daniels from Chicago. And those guys will cost in the $8 to $10 million range. But I can see the Rams, if they're going to spend anywhere, I think that's where they're going to spend.
So this would obviously require the restructuring of 4 or 5 contracts. But from what I have read, this shouldn't be a big hurdle. Getting Stafford and Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, a couple other guys restructured, that's probably going to have to happen. So you don't think Tremaine Ankrum, Bobby Evans, or Alaric Jackson are ready for prime time? Or, I mean, sometimes an offensive line, you can bring back Noteboom and sign a free agent guard and maybe get by with Coleman Shelton or Tremaine Ankrum at center, or do you think not?
They were on the roster this year, and Shelton got his snaps and did well. Tremaine Ankrum didn't get any snaps. Neither did Chandler Brewer. Alaric Jackson had his shot early on, and then he had one good game in Week 16 against the Vikings, but that's still touch and go.
Right.
Bobby Evans played against Seattle. Got the most snaps that he had all year was against Seattle, and he did not grade out well at all. So, yeah, those guys have all had their chances. Not like they're not like a Noteboom who had his chance and proved himself.
Right.
They all had their chances, and you know, they are clearly going to be backup guys that come in as maybe a sixth offensive lineman and play special teams and continue to try and develop them. But none of those guys is anywhere close to ready for.
Yeah. What really confused me about Brian Allen is, you know, our eyes don't lie to us. I thought at times he played okay, especially in the pass game, in the run game, not so much, but then, you know, Pro Football Focus just, you know, graded him out really well. And he was, he made the Pro Bowl as an alternate. So I was really confused about Brian Allen, but
yeah, I think we've seen the peak of Brian Allen, and there's still plenty of holes there. There's a reason that, you know, he's going to sign somewhere for $5 million, not 8 or 9. And we got to also remember that he was hurt for a year and a half prior to this season.
Right.
He took a beating this year. So I think they got what they needed out of him. And I don't think that they double down double his salary, go from 3 to 6 and keep him. I think they go somewhere, look somewhere else, or go with Shelton. I'm not sure, but my guess is they're going to sign 2 free agents on the offensive line, a guard and a center, and really bolster the interior offensive line.
That's good stuff, Tom. Next up, we'll get into the special teams, and then we'll wrap things up. Tom will give us a summary from a contract and salary cap perspective as well. The last group to talk about special teams, we already talked about Brandon Powell. Matt Gay is a restricted free agent. I assume they bring him back, do what they can to bring him back. The long snapper, Matt Orzech, don't see a change there. He's still under contract. Now, Johnny Hecker, now you've probably detected over the past year some disappointment on my behalf with regards to Johnny Hecker. He had his moments this season, but for the most part, for the highest paid punter in the league, I'm not convinced he's still deserving of that. But he's Johnny Hecker. He's a potential Hall of Famer. I don't know what we do with Johnny Hecker. What are your thoughts on him? And he's the one I alluded to a moment ago. You said Tyler Higbee is a guy that could be cut loose. I think Johnny Hecker falls into that category too, but he's still at a punter's salary. You don't really save that much. So what are your thoughts on mainly Matt Gay and Johnny Hecker?
Yeah, I think Matt Gay comes back. He was rock solid. Really haven't had a kicker since Zuerlein left, and really stabilized that position along with Brandon Powell, obviously. But in terms of Hecker, yeah, he's overpaid for how he performed this year for sure. But I don't see them cutting him. They might restructure a little bit like they did last year and try and, save a little bit here or there. But he really did perform quite well in the end of the season, the second half of the season and in the playoffs.
Yeah, he did.
Getting back to not quite old Johnny Hecker form, but a lot better. And so he also has he obviously sees that he's the longest tenured Ram. But he's also provides the leadership, right? He's a captain. He provides a lot of leadership. And I think they bring back Hecker. But obviously they could cut him to save $3 million. But who do they replace him with?
Right.
Punters are they're not a dime a dozen. And so they could spend a draft pick on a punter late in the game, see what happens. But and then they have the option of cutting him later on. But I don't think that happens in this offseason.
Yeah, I just hope it's really odd. You wouldn't think a punter's skill level would drop off like that. So hopefully he gets it back. I don't know what was going on with Johnny Hecker, but he had some bad games across this last season. So they bring him back. Hopefully he returns to the old Johnny Hecker and all will be good with the Rams special teams. Let's do a summary then. Last week we talked about the defense. And I think what we came up with was, I think we see Sebastian Joseph Day and Darius Williams as being 2 free agents that we would likely see walk. And it looks like on the offensive side of the ball, you're thinking the Rams are going to replenish the offensive line, perhaps keep Note Boom, and maybe let Tyler Higbee go. And then there's some restructuring that the Rams probably need to do. So I'll let you take a shot at it. How would you summarize everything we've discussed over the last 2 weeks with an eye on the salary cap, of course?
Yeah, so on the offense, the players that I don't have returning, all right, I have Rams letting go into free agency are, as you mentioned, Corbin and Allen, Michelle and Howell at the running back position. And in terms of what they who they bring back, I think they extend or tender Wolford and Powell, Munt and Shelton at low numbers. and they sign OBJ to a rehab contract, say in the 3 million range. Maybe they push the number for Noteboom up to 5 million, which I think he'll be getting that or more in the free agent market externally. So, but just let's call it Noteboom at 5 million. Ben Jones, external center free agent, for say 5 million, and their guard James Daniels, again external free agent, for 9 million. So what does that do? If we started today, according to Over the Cap, the Rams are about $21.6 million over the cap for everybody, $13 million over for 51. But let's just start with the 21.6 to be conservative. If you do all of those offensive moves that I just discussed, it adds up to about $20 million in additional cap. If we bring all of those guys back that I just talked about, it adds about $20 million to the 21.6 that they're starting with. So that's about $42 million over the cap. And Whitworth not coming back saves about $14 million. Higbee being cut saves about $5 million. So now we're back to about the $21 million mark where we started. So Whitworth and Higbee pay for all of the free agent signings that we just discussed on the offense. So the offense becomes a break even. And in my opinion, a far superior unit than we had previously, primarily because we're bolstering the center of that offensive line.
And you had also mentioned earlier, you had mentioned to me that where the Rams might need to focus as far as the draft.
Yeah. So in the draft, I think we discussed that the primary position from an offensive perspective would be running back, where they'd really go after some players as well as some offensive linemen who could get into development as well. But certainly nobody that's going to step in and start. But on the offensive side, I really see the primary point of emphasis being running back.
Okay, so that's a good summary of the offense, where you see us going, and on the defensive side?
Yeah, so on the defensive side, we discussed the players not returning as Darius Williams, Sebastian Joseph Day, Dante Dion, and Ogo Okoronkwo. So those players move on into a payday, a higher, a bigger role, et cetera, elsewhere. And they extend or tender Reader, Howard, and then we'll just throw the special teams in here. Matt Gay, we already dealt with Powell on the offensive side. And then they sign Von Miller, which we discussed. Say it's 2 years, $20 million or something, $10 million a year, and sign a free agent cornerback that excels in the zone scheme at, say, Dante Jackson, which would be my number one choice, at 2 years, $20 million, something like that as well. All of those moves add about $21 million to the cap. So we started, just to summarize, we started at about 21. We broke even on the offense. Now we're adding 21. Now we're at $42 million of cap space that's needed. Now we have to add in the draft picks and allot some money for them. I think while they get paid sort of in the $700,000-$900,000 range, the cap hit will only be about $3 million because some of those guys will replace guys that are already on the roster, et cetera. So let's just say to accomplish all of these things that we've discussed, they are going to be $45 million or thereabouts over the cap. And we'll need to figure out how to deal with that.
That's where the restructuring comes in.
That's where the restructuring comes in. And then just to discuss the areas of emphasis in the draft on the defensive side, I think they'll target the inside linebacker position heavily. Though that position, along with the running back position on the offensive side, are the areas where they like to bring in lots of draft picks, develop them, play them right out of the box, and they both can contribute heavily on special teams as well. They're not just sitting on the sidelines the whole game or go on the inactive list. And they also, those are the positions that they don't, in their salary cap structure, don't necessarily like to pay big dollars to. So that's the position on the on the defensive side that I think they'll really target in the draft.
Yeah, and you can usually get really good value at the inside linebacker position late in the draft. Okay, so for the restructuring, you want to take a shot at that? What do you expect the Rams to do as far as restructuring goes?
Yeah, so first of all, just a quick summary of what restructuring is. Restructuring means that they move salary numbers into bonus numbers, and salary has to hit in the current year where bonuses can be amortized over the life of the contract. So by restructuring contracts, you can push money out into the future. The upside is you save cap money this year and potentially in the next few coming years. But the downside is that that money becomes guaranteed, and that that if you ever end up cutting that player, that becomes dead money. So that's where the dead money comes in many of these contracts. So that's what the restructuring is. The Rams have been leading the NFL in building in restructuring options into their contracts. In other words, historically, when a team wanted to restructure somebody's contract, they had to go back to the player and their agent and say, hey, we'd like to restructure. And oftentimes, the depending on how much leverage they had, the player may say, well, I'd like a little bit of a raise as well while you do this. Well, what the Rams have done is avoided that by building in a option on their own to be able to restructure contracts without having to ask the players. So a couple little notes about restructuring and how it works. So getting back to the Rams and their $45 million over the cap position, given all of these moves that we've considered, they have about $68 million open to them in restructures. And so the big six in that regard are Donald, which I think we can all assume his contract's going to be ripped up and completely rebuilt, maybe somewhere in the 3-year, $60 million range. And doing so, even though giving him a nice raise would save the Rams about $9 million. Stafford is also due an extension. They've been meaning to do that ever since he was traded here, and probably come with a little bit of a raise. But again, in doing so, would save the Rams about $17 million in cap. Same for Cooper Kupp. That would save about $11 million. Leonard Floyd is almost a surefire restructure. He has a big cap hit. I think it's about $20 million. And so that's almost sure to get restructured. That would save about $12 million. Ramsey, $9 million. And not sure Woods will get restructured, but if they wanted to, they could save $10 million. So that all adds up to about $68 million worth of contracts that can be restructured, or you know, all of them in some, or some combination of them, to get down below the cap or at the cap around that $45 million mark that they need to save.
So this is a moving target. And by the time some of you listeners hear this, some of this restructuring may have already been done. I have heard that the Rams are already discussing a restructure with Aaron Donald, for example. So by the time you hear this, some of this may be a little passe, but trying to keep up with it as best we can. Hey, Tom, thanks a lot. I think our listeners are really going to appreciate this, really good information, and we will definitely have you back at some point to revisit this again. And any of you listeners out there, if there's something you want to hear us talk about, if you'd like to get me a specific guest on, reach out to me, let me know. You can email me at ramsuppodcast@gmail.com. But we'll definitely have Tom back. I really appreciate it, Tom. I appreciate your time, and I appreciate all the information.
Hey, thanks for having me.
That's going to do it for this episode. Remember, you can reach out to us at ramsuppodcast@gmail.com. You can visit our website at laramsup.com. And please don't forget, subscribe and give us that 5-star rating. We really appreciate it. And don't forget, keep the horns up, stay safe, and have fun out there.
Music courtesy of bensound.com and the YouTube royalty-free music audio library, Crimson Fly by Hamma Hamma.